Hey, good evening. Welcome to Tip Tap Tip. My name is Eric.
My name is Rochelle.
Well, that was something.
That was something awesome.
That was something. First things first, I have to make an apology. We were supposed to do a show Wednesday. We didn't. It's all my fault. And really, without going into too much detail, I could just say it was body issues I had with myself.
Why didn't you just say that you were sick?
I was sick.
When you say body issues, that could be anything. And then people start jumping to conclusions like...
Like what? Like I've grown a third arm. I've developed gills allowing me to breathe in water. That would be handy.
I don't know. Body issues, that just doesn't really...
All right.
It's very, very, very vague.
I was sick.
Eric was sick.
We'll just leave it at that. But... Good thing is, we're back now. It is one day after the Eurovision Song Contest Final 2011. And we're just going to do a little bit of a roundup before we not talk about the fucking thing for another 6 months. Promise? I'm sure there's some people who are just like, fuck, thank God this thing is over. Because these guys have been just chatting and chatting and chatting about it incessantly since...
I'm not thinking that at all. Who does not want to talk about Eurovision? Eurovision is awesome. It's fun.
Some people might...
It's not a boring topic, Eric.
I'm just saying.
You're talking like it's a burden. Do you not like Eurovision
anymore? I do enjoy it. It was very fun. I enjoyed watching the thing last night. Last night and last afternoon.
I think you're a pessimist.
Half glass empty kind of guy?
Totally.
All right. Not only am I a half-glass-empty kind of guy, I'm a half-empty glass of piss because somebody hates me and has peed in my glass. That's being pessimistic. Now, you know...
What?
You know, because they usually say that, you know, oh, your glass is half full of water, right?
I don't know. They never really talk about what's in your glass.
Well, somebody half... My glass is half-empty full of piss, right?
You are so weird.
Listener, subscribe to our show for free. Listener, subscribe to our show for free from our website or on iTunes. Our website is, of course, tiptaptip.com. Go there for more info. There we have links to our iTunes and various other ways to check out our show. Make sure to catch us when we broadcast our show Wednesday and Sunday at 8:30 p.m., except for Wednesday when we don't do a show and Sunday when we're doing it a bit early. Right?
Yes.
Both times are Calgary time, all right. So let's get into, actually, first thing, before we get into the Eurovision stuff, Joel sent us a letter. Now, Joel is not only a friend of ours, but he also hosts a couple of shows that he's involved with, a couple of podcasts, rather. One is Squid Pod, which comes out now and again.
That's a good way of putting it.
Oh, it does. Another one he's involved with is Vinyl Countdown. I'll throw links up to both of those in our episode links. Now, Joel writes, hello, Tip Tap Tip. Thanks for the birthday shout out. As you can tell, I'm a little behind on the shows. I really loved / was frustrated with Willfully Uninformed. That's a show I did a couple weeks ago when I was talking about, the election, after the election, when I decided that I was going to be a little bit stupider when it came to politics because it frustrated me because people became assholes because they become know-it-alls on the internet because they can click on a few things.
Okay.
You remember that?
Yeah.
I was going off a bit about that.
Yeah.
Also, I really love / was frustrated with Willfully Uninformed, which is great. You know me. I'm Johnny Know-It-All. So it drives me crazy when people don't want to know something because I want to know everything. But goddamn, Rochelle Land is entertaining. Rochelle Land.
Oh, yeah, because I told him I don't want to know everything. I want to live in my little bubble called Rochelle Land.
A very entertaining place.
Yeah. Apparently.
One of your better recent shows for sure. Rochelle has a Carl Pilkington vibe sometimes. Now,
I don't know who that is.
Carl Pilkington is one of the co-hosts of the Ricky Gervais podcast. Have you ever listened to that?
Oh, that dude that travels and stuff?
Yeah, he's a bit different.
Oh, great. Is that a nice way of saying
no,
that?
No, but Joel follows up. I don't mean that in a bad way, Rochelle.
Okay, good. All right.
If Eric wasn't married to her, I could see him pushing her buttons like Ricky Gervais and brackets for my amusement. But you gotta live together after the show, so it's best that Eric doesn't. Joel! All right. Well, thank you, Joel, for that nice sentiment. We appreciate all letters. If you have anything you'd like to send in, of course, our email address is info@tiptaptip.com.
We should have like a thing called Be Tip Tap Tip Pen Pals. Because that's like a pen pal letter.
That's a nice letter. It's very, very thoughtful. Nice. Obviously, he listens to the show, has nice things to say. Always good. Yeah, so thank you for that. So let's get into the nuts and bolts of what we were talking about here. So,
nuts and bolts. Why do you always say nuts and bolts? Because I'm missing a nut and a bolt on my bike, on my fender right now. And every time you say that, that's all I think about. And fuck, we were just at Sears. I could have got a nut and a bolt there.
Right. Let's get into the nitty gritty.
That's better.
Of what happened last night. Now, here's the thing. It doesn't matter. This is what I figured out. It doesn't matter how smart I think I was when it came to predicting who was going to win.
Doesn't matter.
Because we nailed it last year. And I think that might have been a fluke on our part. Or it might have just been like that one instance where everybody was kind of right on something, but that never really will happen again.
Yeah, because the year before in 2008 when Finland won, like, no clue.
Who the fuck
knows? No idea that was going to happen.
Yeah. So we were completely wrong. Despite the fact that we picked some interesting ones to win, I will ruin it for you. So you have
no, let's, okay. What I want to do is I want to say who we thought was going to win and why.
Okay.
What
sure.
Our scores were or whatever. And then we'll say the winner. Is that cool?
I suppose.
Okay.
So, Rochelle liked, these three, countries and their entries for winning. First up was Sweden.
Okay, now I'm going to explain this because this song is stuck in my head. And even today, when we got back from visiting a friend, Eric was whistling it. And I'm like, what the fuck?
It didn't even occur to me.
You didn't even know.
I was just like, oh, yeah, it's just something I'm whistling. And like, and I hear a yell from the other room. What the fuck is that?
No, I told you to stop whistling the Sweden song because it seriously is so hard to get out of your head. And within listening to it maybe three times, I knew all the lyrics to it.
Yeah,
at least most of them.
You gotta love it when what did he rhyme in the first line? Popular and unpopular.
Some they say it may be impossible, but I know that it's possible. He rhymed impossible with possible. Like it's like what?
It does rhyme. Technically.
It doesn't rhyme, doesn't it? It's the same word.
They are two different words, but.
But the best line in the song is, my body wants you, girl. My body wants you, girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Eurovision isn't really known for, lyrical content. But I'm going to play a little bit of the song just so you can kind of get a sense of it. I'm not going to play the whole thing because we have lots.
Okay. And I just want people to know that this is my best pick. Not my favorite pick, but it is best in the fact that it is memorable. It's easy to sing along to. It's easy song to remember.
Yeah.
It is not my favorite kind of music at all.
Yeah.
But it's fun. And in Eurovision standards, I think it worked really well.
So let's listen to a little
bit. When I say Eurovision standards, I mean like not normal Rochelle standards.
All right. Let's listen to a little bit of this.
Erik Saade, popular, Švedija.
I can't.
you get the idea of that, right? So.
Yeah. I'm glad this is the first song we're playing, so I'll get it out of my mind.
So.
Anyway. And then so that would be like my number three runner up. And then my number two runner up would be,
I believe you had Ireland.
Ireland, because these are two twins from Ireland, and this song and the performance was amazing. I definitely recommend watching this on YouTube. You need to see the graphics.
Yeah. Again.
And the clothing and the hair. It is phenomenal. And I have to say,
I don't know if it's, hey, let's stop for a second. It's just fucking tall.
It's just big hair. It's, you know, it was an element that made me like it. Right.
All right. So this is,
also when I was watching this, it totally reminded me of, Joel from Squid Pod, like the graphic stuff that he did when he was in art school.
So, so Joel, if you're listening, make sure you watch this video, and especially the graphics on the back, and you'll see exactly what we're saying. So,
yeah.
All right. Anyways, this is Ireland's entry by Jedward in a song called Lipstick.
Two twin brothers.
Jedward, Lipstick, Ludicrous.
Thanks. Anyways, you get the idea of that. So that was Ireland's entry. It's funny because everybody who watched the performance, it kind of blown away just by the energy and the whole graphics.
Because they're just like jelly beans, these boys. They're just jumping all
over
the stage.
They're jumping and kicking and doing flips and all sorts of crazy shit. Obviously, they have awesome. A lot of energy for 19-year-olds. I remember when I used to be able to do that shit.
You can still do it if you drink maybe 3 energy drinks.
Oh, man. They're so hopped up on sugar. Clearly.
You have to be.
Clearly. Now, Rochelle's last favorite was, I believe, Moldova.
First favorite.
Oh, pardon me.
We're doing a countdown, not a count up.
All right.
So first favorite is Moldova. And this is definitely also a song that you need to see because they're wearing tall hats, like gnome hats that are probably, how tall, Eric?
Good 3 or 4 feet. Easy.
Yeah. And then there's like pretty girl on a unicycle also wearing a tall gnome hat. Amazing.
Yeah. And the visuals again were pretty crazy. They really took advantage of that huge, like, LCD screen, like huge projection screen or huge whatever screen behind them.
Yeah.
That took
what's it called when you look through those things and they split the pictures up into like
a kaleidoscope?
Yeah, it was like a kaleidoscope of a gnomes.
Yeah, it was something else, that's for sure. And everybody kind of dug it, even though it's hard to tell from.
You could tell what the good songs were because when we do the Eurovision party, if it's a crappy song, people just start talking amongst themselves. If it's a good song, everybody's
kinda
silent and just watching it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Bobshe's loop, so lucky.
Emotional.
away. You never walk away from me. Are you ashamed? Anyways, that's that. So, yeah, again, I'll be putting links to all this. So those were Rochelle's top picks.
And they didn't win.
Neither of these won.
I guess we kind of ruined it by saying that.
Well, there's a lot of countries. I liked a couple of songs. Now, obviously, my favorite, and I think I've mentioned this on the show before, was Bosnia's entry by Bosnia-Herzegovina's entry by Dino Merlin and his song called Love and Rewind.
And this was also one of my favorites, too.
And it was...
And then we found some other music by this guy. And apparently he's been a musician for years in Bosnia. And the video that we watched was really good.
Yeah.
Of his other song.
Okay, so here's
Dino.
Here's his song, Love and Rewind. So that was Dino Merlin, Love and Rewind by Bosnia-Herzegovina.
I want to get more songs by that dude because his music is just super happy.
Well,
super nice.
Yeah, well, we can check it out. So Serbia, we've mentioned a lot on this show. Like this, I think early on, this was one of our favorites. And
it was your favorite.
It's my favorite because it's fucking cute and fun.
Yeah,
and
it is.
And you can't go.
The visuals were like,
it's fucking,
kind of like Austin Powers,
but through like a roller coaster.
Yeah,
it's kind of crazy. Anyways, I'll cut this short, and we'll just say Serbia and their song "Caravan" by Nina. That was that.
Yeah, it was super cute.
Still a good song.
Yeah.
And, all right, so now I had one more favorite, but this is something I actually discovered today.
What?
Today, because I remember I was listening to another Eurovision podcast, the ESE Insight podcast, which does a really good sort of rundown of all the ins and outs of the contest. And they, I remember them at, they had mentioned a while back that, Ukraine had an entry that should have won because it was such a good song, but the one that kind of ended up in the final was kind of lacking. You know, the one where...
Oh, yeah, I didn't like it.
Where the woman in the feather dress and then the sand artist doing the thing, which is projected on the back screen, right?
Yeah, and I think with that one, the only reason why that one got chosen was because of the sand artist lady. I don't think it was because of the song at all.
Yeah.
Because I don't even remember the song.
Yeah. Well, let me play a tiny bit of that song, which I...
Which did get it,
just to kind of give us a sense of...
Michael Jackson, Lara Fabian, Newton.
And this actually rated pretty high in the final scoring, too, right?
Oddly enough. Snore, boo, hiss. All right, so that was that. That was that was their official finalist in their country, Mika Noon, doing a song called Angel. Now, somehow they missed the boat by not getting this song in the final, which I think would have been a much superior entry. Probably would have gone, I don't know if it would have been like the finalist, like the top dog winning the...
Well, it's hard to say. Eurovision is so messed up. Like, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah. So this is the song. This is a song by Jamala and her song called Smile, which I think is fucking awesome, personally.
But yeah.
It has a weird sound at the beginning. All right. So that was that.
That was the whole song.
All right. So we played the whole fucking
song. It's so cute though.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a question. All right. So the video that accompanies that song, is this lady, the singer, flying around looking at all the different places in the world, right?
Yeah. It's like Pee Wee's Playhouse type situation.
Yeah. Cartoon kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. So she ends up going to America and they have the Statue of Liberty, and then she goes to all these other countries.
Yeah.
And they're recognized by these things.
Yeah.
What would be recognized in Canada?
CN Tower. I don't know if that's.
No.
I don't know.
That could be anywhere.
I don't know.
It's really not like we don't have anything like
a national monument, though, which is internationally recognized.
We don't have anything like that.
I don't know. Who knows?
Mountains? No, but mountains are everywhere.
No, we don't. I don't know. I have no idea. Honestly, I'm drawing a blank, Michelle. So, well, here's where we ruin the show and we tell you who actually won. Azerbaijan, Elle and Nikki, with their song called Running Scared, which we played. I don't know. I don't get it. I really don't.
Which we played? What?
We played, you know, when we played on the show.
I know, but we're going to play it today, right?
Yeah, we'll play a little bit. Just a little bit.
Yeah, because we really don't like it.
It's just, I don't get it. I don't get how everybody could kind of stand behind this fucking song. They get a clear almost 30 points more than the second place winner of the contest, Italy. Another song I also don't get.
No, but you liked that song a little bit.
You said that I liked it. I didn't find it.
Is Italy the striped pants dude, or Italy is
the jazzy thing?
Dude. Okay, yeah. Oh no, sorry, I was thinking the striped pants dude.
No, dance was to I think Denmark or something.
No, Denmark is like the hello boys and girls.
Anyways, that being said.
Okay, so what was in third place?
Third place was Sweden with. The one we played before. I'm not gonna.
So it. I was the closest in predicting that song would get something.
Yeah. So if you get here's your high five, Rochelle.
High five. Ow.
And I didn't even. I came in. I think we Bosnia Herzegovina came in sixth. So
yeah,
that's about as good as I got in my fucking guessing. Apparently, like I was saying before, when it comes to predicting these things, it's never a surefire bet.
There's. Not really, anyway.
Everybody was betting. France. Put your money on France. They came in 15th.
Yeah.
Everybody was saying, oh, put your money on the UK. They came in 11th.
Oh, I didn't like the UK one at all. That one was so bad.
Fucking piece of shit.
Yeah. The one thing that we did notice was, so we had two friends of ours who are from Bulgaria. And while we were watching the votes coming in, because, you know, you watch all the performances and then you watch every single country, phoning in to say what their votes were. And when with certain countries, our friends were able to predict who they were voting for based on
the fact that they knew the geography and all the fact
political
that
history,
who was neighbors to who and this and that.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. So I've heard this said a lot of times is that Eurovision is, it's all like political.
That being said, you know, I hear that a lot, but you know, if we look at the,
but I don't think all the countries, not all the countries were like that. Not every country.
But I think when it gets down to it, like, you know, it's usually like a stronger song, which wins out in the end, right? Because, you know, while certain countries tend to vote for neighboring countries, you know, look at the last few years, like last year we had Germany, year before that. We are Norway, then Russia, then Ukraine. So it goes back and forth. Azerbaijan, you know, there's not like just a huge. Yeah, it just kind of worked out that way.
Yeah, I think it ends up working out, but I do think that some countries are their votes tend to be more political.
Yeah, I would agree with that, but I think in the end, it just kind of.
I think all that does is kind of sways the voting a little bit.
Yeah.
Which makes it very unpredictable.
So a professor in the UK thinks he has it all figured out.
Oh, really?
Oh, actually, before I mention that, let's play a little bit of a...
We'll play the winner. Eurovision winner 2011, Azerbaijan.
Yeah, let's play this little bit of this.
It's fun to say.
had enough of that.
The only cool part about this is the very end. They have lights shining down on them, and then it's raining fireworks, and it looks like they're being beamed up by the Love UFO.
That's true. That is true. So,
I don't think they meant that, though.
That's the that's the winner, whether you like it or not. So you came up with Azerbaijan, which means
it's not a bad song. It's not bad, but the guy, I just don't like the guy who's singing it. Maybe if the guy was hot, it would make it better.
He looks
a little bit.
I don't know.
He looks like a little boy.
The interesting thing is, because they won, they have the opportunity to host it next year, which is interesting because I had to look up on the internet what the actual capital of Azerbaijan is, because I know nothing about
it. Well, I don't even know where it is.
I believe it's bordering Turkey. So that's about as much as I know. I need a map.
Is it cheap there?
Well,
is it cheap to get there?
Right now, perhaps, but probably not next year at this time. I'm sure prices will go up because of the thing.
I want to look into that.
Yeah, so they have a capital named Baku. Fuck. She's printed that out.
It starts with a B.
Starts with a B and ends with a U. And there's a K in there somewhere. I don't know what the other vowel happens to be, but
yeah.
That being said.
Okay.
All right. So anyways, as I mentioned, a professor in UK thinks he has it all figured out. He thinks that, you know, he's listened to Eurovision enough times that he cracked the fucking code, right?
Did he predict Azerbaijan this year then?
I didn't mention that in the article or the clip that I have. This was actually sent in by Kelvin, who sent in a number of different articles that we've talked about in various past episodes, and we will probably be talking about in future episodes, including this one.
We just call him the unofficial tip-tap-tip employee, Eric. That just, like, sums it all up, doesn't it?
Sure.
Okay.
All right, Professor Derek Scott, professor of critical musicology at the University of Leeds School of Music, has researched Eurovision entries from the past 50 years and has come up with the qualities a successful entry needs. Now, this is a video I found detailing that, in which he discusses his findings.
If we look back over the past 50 years of the Eurovision Song Contest, then we find that some themes crop up over and over again. And the kind of music for the song. Among these themes, there are four real favorites. One would be the enjoy life theme, the theme that occurs in a song like Cliff Richard's Congratulations. There are plenty of others, J'aime la vie, it's all about having great fun. There is then the anthemic theme, or I call it the anthemic theme. This could have a slight political message or a slight spiritual message. Love Shine a Light, Katrina in the Waves, that's a good example of an anthemic song. Then we have the party time, leisure time, sport time song. There was a whole spate of fairground-y circus-type songs in the 70s that went for that kind of theme. Puppet on a String, Jack in the Box, those sort of songs. And finally, I suppose we have the most scorned type of Eurovision song, the one that reaches out beyond individual language vocabulary and goes for the la la la, boom bang a bang, ding dong, that sort of joyful yet nonsensical refrain.
So before I continue with this clip, now he's thought about this. He's looked at Eurovision clips over the last 50 years. He's decided to put his knowledge to the test by coming up with a song himself that exhibits all the qualities that he's talked about.
Oh my goodness. This is going to be nuts.
This is a professor. He knows he's cracked the fucking code, and you're about to hear his perfect Eurovision song. Now hold on to your fucking hats. It's something else.
When I wrote my own song, I decided I would put as many of the ingredients that have made for success in the past into one song. Now, you might say that there are plenty of songs that have won that don't have one of the ingredients that are in my song, but I decided it won't matter, it won't damage the song to put in things that people have liked in the past. be rude to rude people. Come on, everybody, laugh and sing. It's better than wearing lots of bling. Be nice to nice people. Be rude to rude people. Come on, everybody, laugh and sing. It's better than wearing lots, much better than wearing lots, much better than wearing lots of bling.
What?
That's
the,
it?
That, what the fuck was that? This is...
Eric, I think you could write a better song than that one.
This guy's cracked the fucking code, Rochelle. He's figured it out. Apparently by making kissing and farting noises and you know, throwing in the occasional reference to something contemporary like bling. You what the fuck was that? That was probably...
It sounds like a song from a really bad musical.
You know what that sounds like? That is the sound of a person who thinks he knows everything, but in the end doesn't get it.
Yeah,
at all.
I think so.
Like, you know...
But the stuff that he was saying before, okay, this is before I heard the song, it kind of made sense. But then his categories are very broad, you know?
It's like, okay...
He hasn't really, really come up with anything. I'm sorry.
It's kind of like this. Now, remember, back in the days when both you and I were at art school, there was a lot of people who read a lot of books and knew a lot about art history, and contemporary art can talk circles around theory and this and that. And then you look at the shit that they're producing in their own studio.
And you're like, oh, yeah, I don't think you get it, hey?
It's like, wow, you looks like you took a dump on the canvas, or maybe you actually did. I don't know. But, you know, it's basically somebody talking out their ass. And then when it comes to putting their theory into practice, they just fucking come up with a turd like that. What the fuck was that guy?
Yep.
So,
can I ask you something?
Yes.
Can I ask you to do something?
What?
But you can say no if you want to.
Okay.
Can you try writing a Eurovision song?
No, I'm not going to write a Eurovision song.
Please?
No.
Please?
Well, first of all,
you can make it all lovey and nice, all about me. Please?
Michelle, please. Let me think about that. All right.
You will think about it. Does that mean that you're going to do it?
Kind of. No, that means I'm going to defer the question for the time being.
Come on.
Until I can talk to you about it after the show.
All right. I know, but that's why I'm asking you to do this on the show.
Oh, so you're confronting me on the air.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Well, my answer, as I mentioned before, is I will think about it.
You're so, not going to do it.
Oh, you just paint.
You can say no. I told you can say no, but I'm going to be mad at you.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, no, I think that, like, that's the type of song that maybe, you know, if he wrote that on the, you know, in like a minute, sure, whatever. But the fact that he's like thought about it and then wrote that song, that's pretty sad.
The thing is, he's thought about it too much. That's a problem, right?
Yeah. You know? No, but I'm like, you could seriously write that song.
I could make
in
better,
a minute.
I could make better farting and kissing noises than that, Professor. Any day of the week.
Yeah.
It's a fucking hit. It's a hit, according to this guy. I wrote a fucking hit.
Get money? Like, the people who win, they get money?
Good question. I don't know. I know they get a big, shiny trophy. And
they probably get something.
Yeah, they must get something. Like,
because, okay, what I didn't know is that 50% of the votes come from music production people, mm-hmm. and then 50% of the votes come from European people.
Yeah, like the voters, right?
Yeah. So 50% of the music votes, that means that they basically want these people to come up with a CD and stuff. Right? Is that what that means?
Well, it depends, right? You know, these are music professionals, at least the judges are. And I don't know how it works.
I think they should, you know, to make it more interesting, I think they should do it like 40-60. So 40 music people and then 60 countries.
Yeah. I think it should definitely be more skewed toward the actual voters, right?
Yeah.
Because you never know. Yeah, because as I said, Azerbaijan was a bit of a strange pick, but that may have been skewed by the judges. Who's to say?
I have to say, there were a lot of good songs this year. Last year, I was kind of disappointed. There wasn't as many good songs.
So, well, now that we've got that out of
our... Are we done? This is like officially done Eurovision.
Unless there's something else you want to say before we head out.
I love you, Eurovision.
Now, anyways, we got a few more things to talk about. Not Eurovision.
Really?
Or you want to continue along for the rest of the show?
I just wanted to talk about Eurovision... the whole show.
All right. Well, what are your thoughts? What do we, anything else you'd like to say?
I want to go there.
You want to go to, Azerbaijan next year?
Yeah.
All right. We'll work on that. Start saving up my nickels and dimes. Get a ticket to there. Stand there. I don't even know. Like, I know nothing about this country.
We'll bring a tent.
Yeah. Sure. We'll bring a tent.
We'll bring a tent with us and our saved up pennies. We're like, yeah, we're from Tip Tap Tip.
And we'll throw our pennies in the air. We'll live like kings. It'll be awesome. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. It should be interesting to see what kind of thing they come up with next year. Like, you know, what the stadium is like, whether they could step it up or step it down.
I don't know. It was pretty fucking amazing this year. Yeah. In the beginning of the show, of the final show, they showed how they built the stage for Eurovision, and they basically converted their soccer, what do you call it, their soccer dome, soccer place,
yeah,
or
like
whatever.
A stadium or whatever. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a stadium.
Arena. I don't know. Sure.
Anyway, they converted that all into the Eurovision stage. It was amazing. Germany put a lot of cash into that.
Now, the cool thing about this is if you want to watch the thing yourself, you can do so for free. That's how we watched it. Just go to the Eurovision.tv website and then just go to the video section or whatever. I can put like a link right to it. You can watch the whole 3.5 hours yourself. That includes all the performances, the intro, the sort of halftime show, the voting, which can be interesting in itself.
Yeah, don't skip the voting. It seems like it would be really boring. But it just it's a build up to the final result. You watch all the votes come in, and sometimes the people who are calling make really silly.
In the afternoon,
really silly.
When the votes were coming in and I didn't know who was going to win, I was screaming at the TV. I'm like, "What the shit is this?" And
I probably would have been doing the same, except for somebody ended up telling me who the winner was before I watched it.
Yeah, that kind of ruined the evening for Rochelle.
And it wasn't Eric. It
wasn't me. But it was somebody that I bought underwear with today. Just saying. That was some...
I wonder who that could be.
that's funny.
I was really disappointed about
Well, here's the thing.
It ruined everything for me.
So bad.
Because I had to pretend that I didn't know who the winner was the whole time while watching it.
You know, and people were like, oh, I wonder if so-and-so's going to be like, oh, no, they're not. Fuck.
Yeah.
That sucks.
But I didn't know who was going to come in second or third. So, I mean, I just, you know, that's how I like kept my perspective about it.
Yeah.
And not punching him in the face today when we saw him.
Yeah, that was interesting. But yeah, you did not punch him in the face.
No.
Good for you. So let's just, before we head out of here, let's just change gears up a little bit to kind of prepare people for what will be sort of the theme for at least the next 6 months when we don't talk a fucking thing about this show.
Okay.
Talk about other things.
Goodbye, Eurovision.
Goodbye, Eurovision, for the next while. Long while.
Okay.
And we're done. Like that. Chelsea Hotel bans orgy. Chelsea Hotel, of course, is a very famous hotel in New York.
Yeah, everybody knows that.
Everybody knows the Chelsea Hotel, right? The notorious orgy organizer Pelagia, that's spelled P-A-L-A-G-I-A, has been banned from throwing her monthly sex bashes at the Chelsea Hotel. After throwing wild parties at the iconic location for the past 11 years, allegedly attended by actors, musicians, and TV personalities, as well as some hotel residents, the 37-year-old Greek Madonna lookalike was notified her reservation was canceled just hours before her April 30th bash due to liability. The hotel manager told her in an email, we'd advise you not to book any reservations under your name or alias. We're not honoring your reservation for today or the future. Her rep blamed the band on an impending change in ownership of the hotel. It's allegedly in contract for $80 million, but the buyer remains a mystery. Managers used to come to the party, she said. So,
well, that sucks. Now where she's going to have her orgies at?
Yeah, I know. A lot of fun. A lot of fun to be missed by various actors, musicians, and TV personalities. 11 years she's done this, which means that she started doing this when she was 26 years old. Now, there is a person with drive and initiative. No. How many other 26-year-olds are you?
Start orgy parties?
You know, and continue with that for 11 years. That shows that somebody has dedication and they stick with it. And, well, it's unfortunate. And I'm sure these actors who need to get, you know, get their monthly rocks off in a pile of human bodies.
Okay, would you ever go to the orgy?
Would I ever go to that orgy?
Yeah.
Well, I guess the broader question is, would I ever go to an orgy, period? I don't know.
You're just full of non-answers.
Okay, well, the problem with this is like my personality is I like a lot of absolutes. I like to go into a situation knowing pretty much what's going to happen. Maybe that's just the way I am. When you go into an orgy, there's not a lot of.
Are you scared that a guy is going to want to have sex with you?
I'm just scared that.
Like, what other thing would you be afraid of?
You know, I walk into a room and it's, you know, like, I didn't get the memo and I walk into a room of like 80-year-olds or something like that.
The whole room full of 80-year-olds?
Never know.
Come on, Eric.
What?
80-year-olds don't go to orgies.
You know this for a fact.
Well, maybe like one would be there, but there wouldn't be a whole bunch of them.
Never know.
So that's what you, so you wouldn't go because of
well,
that?
Well, what I'm saying is that there's like.
And you know what you do? You just walk into the other room.
I guess there's multiple rooms, right?
Yeah.
All right, there you go.
So would you go?
Would I go to an orgy? Maybe in my crazier days, I would consider it, but I've since calmed down.
So what about your crazier days in the future?
You know,
when you turn like 40 and you're like, I'm losing my hair. I've got hair growing out of my nose. I need to fuck some young chicks.
Well, first of all, I already have hair growing out of my nose.
No, more.
More hair.
Yeah. You know, and then you like want to buy a motorcycle and stuff.
I want to buy a motorcycle right now. And I already have hair growing out of my nose. What does that say?
So maybe your crazy days are approaching sooner.
Oh, motherfucker. Somebody give me some baby oil. Fuck.
What's that called when you like start turning old and you freak out?
Midlife crisis.
Yeah. Are you getting that?
Maybe I already had it. I don't know.
What? You need to, you would know.
I don't
you
know.
You know these things.
What are the signifiers of a midlife crisis other than like, you know, being riding a Harley on the weekend and doing, you know, here's the thing. I think having a midlife crisis gets a bad rap, you know, and here's why I'm saying that because there's a lot of things I want to do, a lot of silly things. But the reason that people have these supposed midlife crisis is they reach a point in their life where they have the money to do all the things they wanted to do 20 years ago, but had no money to do at that point in their lives. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, yeah, for sure.
There's a lot of stupid fucking things I want to do. Yeah, I want to buy a muscle car. I wanted to buy a muscle car, you know, okay, sure, I don't drive. But, 10 years ago, Obviously, I was in no financial position to do so. But, you know, when the point comes in my life where I do have that extra scratch kicking around my pocket, you know, I might be 50, 60 plus, whatever.
You're going to do it? You're going to buy a muscle car?
Fuck yeah. I'm going to be one of those guys.
Oh, my goodness. I just saw these two old dudes cruising down 17th Ave, and they were driving, like, the sheriff car from Dukes and Hazzards.
But the horns?
Red. No, but it didn't have horns on the front, and it was red. And it was two old dudes, most likely, like, in their 60s.
See, I don't knock guys like that because, you know, I'm not saying I would want that particular car. I'm just saying, fuck it. If you can afford the things you wanted to, you know, the silly things that you wanted in your 20s and you happen to be, you know, 60 or whatever, fucking do it, man. You only live once.
I totally agree.
Do stupid shit, have fun. And
then you would go to an orgy.
And then die.
So you'd go to an orgy. You know what? You're probably going to be the 80-year-old at the orgy. Because you're going to be like, oh, it's something that I always wanted to do, but I wasn't really sure. And I didn't really make the choice because I was a little bit too scared of what would happen. But now that I'm 80, fuck it.
Yeah.
Who cares?
That's exactly it. It's not a bucket list. It's a fuck it list. As in fuck it. I'm going to do this stupid shit and I don't give a shit anymore.
Yeah.
All right. That being said, let's get the hell out of here, shall we?
For sure.
All right, let me find my thing.
Thank you for listening to Tip Tap Tip.
Yeah, so that was fun. Hope you liked our Eurovision wrap-up. I just saying that as a final nail in the coffin for the Eurovision 2011 Song Contest. We'll be getting back to normal stuff next episode on Wednesday. Thanks for listening. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Go to our website, tiptaptip.com. Links to all sorts of shit are on there, like our t-shirts, like how to subscribe magically through iTunes.
And that Stitcher thing.
The Stitcher thing, which is an application that you can get on your iPhone, which, again, you want the latest episode, but you don't want to hook up your iPhone, your BlackBerry, your Android phone, whatever, to your computer. It's like there. It's magic. Boom. New episode of Tip Tap Tip. Bling. It's there. It's fun. All right. Also, if you like your show, best way to express your love of the show is to tell your friends to listen to it. Word of mouth is kind of awesome. Makes more people listen to the show. We like it because more people listen. You know, not like we count the numbers or anything, but it kind of warms our hearts to know that completely random people are listening, and that's good. And some of them might drive muscle cars and be in orgies, but that's okay because I'm totally cool with that because I do that.
Because you're a cool dude.
Yeah, I might do that one day. Life's short. Fuck it. Anyways, thank you for listening. My name is Eric.
My name is Rochelle.
We'll talk to you guys on Wednesday. Bye.
Bye.